You know, this morning I also want to take this time to finish. I mean, yeah, just continue to some of the things I started talking about last Sunday. We were talking about some of the realities that are in Christ Jesus. You know, I really, it's resonating in my spirit, this phrase you just said. Whatever we focus on, if we focus on the problems, they become bigger. That is so true. And even sometimes when we focus on ourselves, you know, we focus on our needs. You know, even doing worship at times, I mean, as a worship leader, sometimes I realize there is a breakthrough for me in worship when I'm not so much focusing on the technical things, technical aspect of, you know, side of things. When I just focus on worshiping Yahweh, worshiping Jesus for who he is, man, I tell you, I feel like heaven is open during that worship. You know, I feel like, wow, there is such intimacy, you know. And one of the reason I really love that you shared your testimony. The verse I want to begin with today is Revelation, from Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Yes, I'm going to pray before I dive into this. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your people. I thank you for just bringing us here, God, and I thank you for giving us this platform to be able to be online and at home. Some people are watching us at home. Lord, I ask that your word would, the Holy Spirit would take your word and teach our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of our God. It has come at last, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth.'" Okay? Now, we need to understand that the Bible is making mention of Satan, who is being the accuser of the brothers and the sisters. And then it says, the one who accuses them before God day and night. Even right now, Satan is trying to bring accusation before God against us. But this is it. And then they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. See, and I want you to focus on those two things this morning. And I want you to be reminded that we do have an accuser. We do have Satan, who's constantly, even before God, sometimes in our own mind, accusing us, making us feel guilty. But be reminded again that his time is coming. And in Revelation, it says right here, "But we have overcome the devil," that devil, Satan, "we have overcome him two ways: by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the words of our testimony." You know, and what you just shared, just a little bit of testimony gives you it gives you authority, you know. And I don't know, for some of you out there, sometimes you feel ashamed to share your testimony or share where you have been. But let me remind you again this morning. The words of your testimonies are powerful. You need to remind the devil of the things Christ has done for you. Last week I talked about sometimes in church or even in our service or even sometimes our sermons are so they so negative sometimes, thinking, you know, in ways, you know, instead of letting you know or focusing on what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we think about how bad, how the enemy is just constantly trying to kill you. But you need to remember that Satan has no power. Satan has pretty much no more power than what you've given him. Why? Because you have overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. You know, and today I want to take some time also to talk about what Christ Jesus has done for me. Last week, I want to make this clear again, I made a big mistake by I told you guys to read Hebrews chapter 9 when I was reading Hebrews chapter 10. But once again today, the right verse is Hebrews chapter 9. Were you here last week? Okay, well, I was talking on Hebrews chapter, about Hebrews chapter 9. Mm-hmm. But then in my Bible up here, I was reading Hebrews chapter 10. So anyhow, you guys go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 9 again. And chapter 10, that's really good. We won't have time today to talk about this. But when you study the Old Testament, we find out there are so many sacrifices that God set in place to allow the people to have access to Him. But, you know, from the moment Adam sinned till the time Jesus gave His life on the cross, there was no sacrifice. There is no blood shed before the sacrifice on the cross that could bring salvation to our souls. So thank God that Jesus came. And I encourage you to find verses in the Bible that talks about what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You know, when I read the Bible, especially there's another verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "And since you have been made right in God's sight, by the blood of Jesus Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation." Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Since we have been made right in God's sight. See, this is the good news. You need to be reminded again today that the price was paid for you to be made right, for you to have right standing. You could have access, like what we have today. We have access to come before God. We have access to approach the throne of grace, not guilty, not feeling guilty. Now, if you're feeling guilty, there is your opportunity to repent. If there is anything on your conscience condemning you, this is your opportunity. This is your chance right now to bow your knees, get on your face, cry out to God and repent of your sins. But there's, other than that, there shouldn't be any condemnations. You should feel welcome. We sang earlier, God is a good father. You know, I know some of us did not have good father. You know, your father figures in your life weren't good examples. God is not like our earthly fathers. He's a good God. He's a good father. He's saying, you are always welcome to me. You always have a place with me. You know, the other thing also, the blood of Jesus is a blood that justifies. You are justified by the blood of Jesus. That means you've been saved from wrath. You've been saved from judgment. So now, if you have received and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, this news in itself should make you excited. We're seeing it, right? We've said it before. Nothing you can do. Nothing you can do would make God loves you more. This is the good news we need to focus on. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. I invite you to read those verses at home. But it also says, I am redeemed by the blood of Christ. What does that mean? Redeem. Redemption means purchased. Redemption means you were sold as a slave, but Jesus came and bought. That's the good news. And bought us. And he paid a high price for you and I. The blood of Jesus is a blood that remit. It's a blood that revoked. You know, the curse. That's why there shouldn't be any curse. There's a song that goes like this, right? I'm no longer a slave of sin. I am a child of God. We sang it again. He's a good father. You are loved by Him. You know, I told you, put that down on your notes. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, He is so rich in kindness and grace. God is so rich in kindness and grace. Let this sink in. Our Father in heaven is so rich. He's so rich. There's so much in kindness. I pray today that you encounter God's kindness. And I also pray that you would not waste God's kindness. Don't waste God's grace. Don't waste His grace on your life. That's why I'm challenging you. Serve the Lord. You know, Quinn talked about it. We mentioned doing worship as well. We don't worship God because you do have a warm house. Do you know that there are Christians right now that are running for their lives? You know, sometimes it grieves my heart when I see Christians here in America. They want to serve God conveniently. If it's not convenient, they don't want to do it. You know, if it's not convenient, I don't want to do it. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live as a Christian to serve God when it's convenient.
Come on.
That's so wrong. And I've said that here before, and I'm going to repeat it. And I'm going to challenge you guys. As this is still the new year, right? We're still in January. Don't serve God because it's convenient to you. And I'm going to repeat it again. You need God more than He needs you. You know what we've done this morning? God doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need my praise. He's got the angels praising Him nonstop. Even creation, the trees, the waves, they worship Him. Don't serve God because it's convenient to you. Oh, it's easy. You know, now if I have nothing to do, I guess I'll read my Bible. I have nothing to do, I guess I'll pray. In and out of season, keep pressing in. When you feel like you don't, you said it. I mean, how many times, even home group sometimes, I remember, that's why I keep telling people, we have no excuse. I remember there are times I had two jobs, but I was still involved. And I thank God for that, for giving me a desire to go after Him. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose my passion. I don't want to ride on someone else's passion. I want to be on fire for the Lord. Jesus is coming back, and I want Him, when He comes back, I want Him to find me with oil in my lip.
Amen.
You know, I want Him to find me ready. Being ready meaning that means you have oil in your lamp. You still have fire in your, you know, your lamp still lit, still have light. But you also have reserve. And I tell you guys, there are so many distractions right now. The enemy is doing everything, not only bringing accusation, but he's doing everything in his power to keep you and I from pursuing God. And my challenge to you is to go after it. That's why I love fasting. I love fasting. You know, fasting food or fasting TV or fasting something. It just put me in a position where I realized, man, I need God. I don't need that thing. You know, I can, man, I'm hungry. You know, when your belly's hungry, you have a headache. And, you know, I just did a Daniel fast. I mean, it was sometimes it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. I had headaches. I felt like, I mean, I remember there were nights, man, I just wanted to eat. I wanted to eat ice cream. I wanted to eat a pie or something like that. But, you know, I put myself in a position, in a discipline for a certain amount of days to say, you know what, God, have mercy on me. I want more. I don't want to ride on somebody else's passion. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want to be on fire for Jesus. I want to serve Him. I want to follow Him. Oh man, this is good. The blood of Jesus is a blood that erases. It erases our sins. I read from John chapter 1 verse 5. It says, "This is the message we've heard from the beginning from Jesus Christ. Now I declare it to you. God is light, And there is no darkness in him. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. And this is the word of the Lord. We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but are still living in darkness. And you know the dark deeds in your life. You know them. The dark thoughts in your mind. You know them. And if you know, if God brings those thoughts, those patterns, those things on in your life, it's time to not only repent, but confess them and run away from them. Find someone that can keep you accountable. Do not lose your passion. I don't know, this was not in my notes, but my spirit keeps going back there. Do not lose your passion. You all know already I hate the cold. But I said this year I wouldn't complain. But man, I don't know, but I think there's nothing fun about being cold. Now, excuse me, this is my personal conviction, okay, about the cold. I know some people really love the cold, you know. And as a matter of fact, some I heard somebody says, oh man, it's finally cold. You know, because it snowed and it looks pretty out there, and it's everything's frozen. But you know, when you cold, according to my own experience with the cold, your bone cracks. You know, it's like you become so stiff. You know, I think there's something about a good, cool, maybe not extremely hot weather. Once again, this is personal conviction on the weather. There's those things you don't discuss them. You don't argue about the weather. Beauty, you don't, what they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? Mm-hmm. Probably the weather, the same thing, right? You know? But what I want to say is, you don't want to be cold for the Lord. You do not want to be living a Christian life half dead. No. Restoration Church, I'm challenging you guys to seek for the Lord. Make things right in your life. Get warm. Get by the fire. Get by the fire. Actually, when you're cold, there is a solution, right? Get by the fire. That's it. Put your long johns on. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God and go on and living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we're living in the light, as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood, once again, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Remember, I'm talking about the blood and the words of our testimonies. You know, if I would ask you today, can you please tell me what the Lord has done in your life in the past 3 weeks? And if you are encountering God in his word, if you are spending time in worship, there should be a testimony. There should be, right?
There should be.
You know? We know what we're talking about. But for Christians who just like going through the motions, or you know, just do Sunday morning service, there's no room for encounter. There's no time for encounter. It's just like, if I don't see you, we don't share life together, or we don't talk, and if we don't share life together, there's no time for encounter between you and I. So therefore, you won't know me, I won't know you. How simple is that? It's the same thing spiritually. Man, I could go on and on right there, but I'm going to read this again. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we're living in the light, as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Because God, when we connected with God, automatically we will connect with each other. If I'm connecting with God, Ron is connected with God, automatically the God that connects, that we're connected, will connect us together. And not only that, it says the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have no sinned, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his words have no place in our hearts. You see, as I walk in the light of God, I have fellowship with Christians. As I walk in the light of God, I am continually cleansed by the blood of Jesus. This is it. As I remain in God, I am continually being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You see, the blood of Jesus is also a blood that sanctifies. I am made holy by the blood of Jesus. I am holy. You're not pervert unless you are and you need repentance. But you need to understand that the blood of Jesus, there's enough power in the blood of Jesus to give you authority over your addiction. Listen, it's got to stop. I mean, it blows my mind for someone who calls themselves Christians and are dealing with whatever addiction it is for 17 years. You know what that means? That's telling me there's not enough power in the blood of Jesus to set you free. But I know there is enough power in the blood of Jesus to set you free. The problem is you have to make a choice. The problem is you have to turn away from your sin and start making the right choice, the right decision. See, the blood of Jesus is a blood that reconciling. The blood of Jesus is a blood that speaks. The blood of Jesus is a blood that triumphs. The blood of Jesus also is the blood that overcame. The blood of Jesus is an overcoming blood. I told you, Revelation chapter 12. I overcome Satan's attack by the blood of the Lord. You see, I come before God through the blood of Jesus. I prayed it all the time. I resist and I rebuke the COVID-19. COVID-19 is a spirit. Of course, it's a disease, right? But it also attaches. There are spirits that attach to COVID-19. Oh, I rebuke COVID-19 by the blood of Jesus. I take authority over it. And I pray. I said, okay, even if COVID-19, if I'm affected, it's not going to kill me unless God decided that's the way I'm going to go home. But knowing what the blood of the Lord has, knowing what the blood of Jesus has done for me, I can make a stand. I can stand on what he's done on the cross and make those declarations, right? What does it say? I think in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith come by hearing. That's why it's always good to know God's word. Repeat what the word of the Lord says about you instead of believing what the lies Satan is telling us. We need to know the truth and believe the truth. You know, the blood of Jesus also brings new creation. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, this person becomes a new creation. Everything's, the old's gone. You have a new life in Christ. All things are new. Oh, man. Through the blood of Jesus, you've become righteous. And I'm alive through the blood of Jesus. I'm alive through the blood of Jesus. I pray this morning that you would understand what Christ has done for you. I know this is sometimes something, most of the time we talk on Easter, you know. Easter, Jesus died on the cross. It's a good time to remember those things. But when you think about the realities in Christ, you should be excited. you should know for sure where you stand. You are alive. Your Christian life should be a live one, not a dead one. Not a dead one. The joy of the Lord should be your strength. Not because things are going well. Man, God, give us a revelation. Not because things are going well, but just because I'm experiencing the blood of Jesus. I'm in covenant, everyday relationship, encountering God through the reading of the Bible, applying His word in my life, and spending time in worship and in fellowship with other Christians. You know, something I never understand. I don't see how it's even possible for a Christian, a follower of Christ, to constantly be hanging out with people in darkness. Now, we should have friends that are not Christians. But the purpose should be to influence them, to love them. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily to go out and drink with them. Or to go out, think about it. I think I've said that to a friend of mine. We were talking about this. It's like, how come you're always going out and drink with your friends that are not Christians, and you can never bring them to church? So, yeah. I mean, we are to love everybody. We are to accept them where they are. But remember, you're hanging out with them all the times, just having, you know, shooting the breeze, having a cold beer all the time. When was the last time you brought them to church? Anyhow. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word today. You want to add something, Quint? Are you good?
Good.
Oh, man.
That was so good.
You know, all these blessings, find the word of God, find the word of the Lord, and all these blessings and many more have been given to you through the blood. You know, the Lord bless you, the Lord keeps you, the Lord gives you good health, the Lord gives you a future. All these things, find in the word of God the things that talks about it.